is so good. Thanks for being here tonight. This series is called Character Tours, and we have been looking at big, famous characters in the Bible. And so far, we've looked at Abraham and Joseph, and tonight we're going to take a look at Joshua. I want to start maybe in a weird place, and that is the famous funeral that we watched this week. Queen Elizabeth passed, and what an event her funeral was. It was just so big, and it was a great event. It was quite a spectacle. Rhonda taped 7 hours of the coverage, and we always watch you know, things that happen over there, and I think she just finished it tonight. So 7 hours of, you know, maybe we had fast forward through some of the things, but still, that was a very famous, big, well-covered event. I heard that the Queen had planned everything down to the smallest detail, and that service, I thought, was so good. Now, I know a lot of you make fun of me for reading that King James Bible. You probably hated that service because they read it a lot, and I loved it. And the verses they read were so powerful. They were so, you could tell the Queen hand-picked them. I mean, I thought, as I watched some of it, and I watched the recording, I thought of the billions of people who watched that when they read from John 14, there was no mistake that the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to the Father. John 14, that's the passage where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It was a very, very clear presentation of Scripture that billions of people watched. It was a blessing to me. I thought of that. Now, my former pastor in Kansas City, he's the guy that baptized me. And I went to an institute that he taught. He taught me a lot of what I know about the Bible. He put this on Facebook, and this was very moving to me. He said, I'm still processing. One of my earliest memories, if not my earliest, is watching the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II on one of the earliest televisions with my mother and her best friend. Today I watch her funeral. Her son, now King Charles III, is 3 months younger than I am, and now at 73. He is entering the unique purpose for which he was born, hard to imagine. I can see the weight of the world on his face, so much to think about. I can't get those comments out of my mind. Jeff's a very smart person, a very thoughtful person, and that's what he chose to write, and he's right. There's so much to think about there. His earliest memory, he said, is watching her get the crown, and now he's watching her funeral. And he starts to think about the king, King Charles III. That sounds pretty weird to say. It's always been Prince Charles to me, and now it's King Charles. It doesn't seem right to call him King Charles, but the second the queen took her last breath, boom, there he goes, king. In fact, I heard them, you know that song, My Country, Tis of Thee? That's actually a remake of a song from England that's called God Save the Queen. And the moment she took her last breath, that song is now God Save the King. It happened that fast, where a leader who had led and led and led and you just never knew that country without her being in charge, took her last breath, and suddenly Prince Charles became King Charles. It wasn't Queen Elizabeth anymore. It was King Charles. Just happened like that. Now, I don't think it was a huge shock. She was in her 90s, but she had been queen so long. And they all knew it had to be getting close, but that moment, he had to replace someone who had been on the throne so long. Pastor Adams is right. He undoubtedly felt the weight of the world on his shoulders. There's an important character in the Bible named Joshua. There are lots of great stories in the Bible, a couple of which we sing about tonight in the book of Joshua. You have Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. You have another battle when Joshua asks God to turn back time. There's another incident where the 12 spies go in. Joshua is one of the spies. Another battle that we've talked about on this stage is the Battle of Ai. It happened after Jericho, and that was a setback. But my point is, Joshua was in a lot of famous events in Israel. But the thing I always remember about Joshua, and for me, the thing I want to remember about his character is this is the person who followed Moses. He followed Moses. Joshua had to get in there and lead after Moses had led them for so long. When I look at what Joshua did and who he was and what my life, I want my life to be based on what his was, the thing I want to remember is that Joshua had to step up when Moses stepped back and didn't lead anymore. Moses was legendary. He was the leader that went into Egypt and delivered the people. He was the central character in the 10 plagues of Egypt. Moses was the person who stretched out his rod and split the Red Sea so Israel could cross while Pharaoh and the army was chasing them. That was Moses. There's even a passage in Hebrews 3 that talks about why Jesus is better than Moses. Now, there's no way Moses could ever stack up anywhere close to Jesus, but the fact that they made a chapter and compared them tells you how legendary Moses was and the place he held. You could almost say he's the face of the Old Testament. He wrote first 5 books of the Bible. He is legendary. He led them right to the door of the Promised Land. They were so close, he got up on a mountain and could see it. He sent 12 spies, and they brought something back where they could even taste it, literally. They tasted the Promised Land. They had grapes where it took 2 of them to carry a cluster. Moses was legendary, and then Moses wasn't the leader anymore, and Joshua had to step in for him. What do you do with a deal like that? No more Moses. It's Joshua. Now, none of us are likely to replace Moses or even someone like Queen Elizabeth in our lifetime. But every one of us has something very special called influence. And that means that whoever you are, there are people who look to you for something. And there are times in your life, maybe you didn't ask for, when suddenly you have to step into a place and maybe more people are watching you due to some circumstance out of your control, and you have a sort of a Joshua moment. Maybe you have some situation in your life that's hard and more people are watching how you handle that. Again, maybe you didn't ask for a situation, but you have a little more influence than others, and I'm going to call that tonight a Joshua moment. Some of us hate the spotlight. We just want to do our own thing, but it doesn't change the fact that this happens. Something changes, and people watch us. They want to know what we think. They want to know what we'll do. They want to know how we handle something. Maybe they will... Maybe they just want to see how we do something or advice. We have a Joshua moment. Now, Joshua had a lot of things early that tested his leadership. There was that Battle of Jericho. That was a big moment in Joshua's leadership. There was a time that Joshua led the people through the Jordan like Moses led them through the Red Sea. There were a lot of similarities in those events. Then there was the Battle of Ai. There's another battle of the five kings. So Joshua had a lot of chances to demonstrate his leadership. And I just know, as he would go through those situations and he would face things that leaders have to face, that there were people who undoubtedly said, well, that's not how Moses would have done it, right? You know they said that. That's not what Moses would have done. And he just got through it because he made a decision that he was going to just go on. We could go to a lot of verses that defines Joshua's character. I'd like to look at one verse in the last chapter of Joshua. It's a famous verse. I've heard two or three different ways you can look at that. I don't want to get caught up in all the interpretations. I think we can stay on pretty safe ground, especially if we look at the last part of this verse. It's in Joshua 24, verse 15. I bet you've heard of the last part of this verse. This is a big speech that Joshua is giving the people late in his career. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it's the gods would your father serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is a great verse, and here is what I think he's saying, or at least how I see it. Joshua said, hey, I don't know what you all are going to do. You have your options. I can't decide for you. But me, my bunch, the people I influence, some of you are going to serve gods over there. Some of you are going to serve gods over here. Me and my house, me and the people under my influence, we are going to serve the Lord. We aren't going to let them influence us. We have made up our minds. We've settled it. This is where we're going. May not be popular. More of y'all may do this. Some of you may do that. This is what we are doing. We have settled it. See, I think that attitude was particularly helpful to someone like Joshua, who stepped in for someone like Moses, who was maybe caught up in a place where maybe he didn't necessarily enjoy or want to be. Maybe you're in a place like that sometime. Maybe you had to do something or be something, or extra people depended on you for something. You didn't necessarily like it, but there you were. This attitude will help you just decide what you're going to do and not necessarily depend on a popular opinion. That had to help Joshua. If he had depended on what was popular, or maybe the majority, and if he had been taking polls, I don't know. It may not have gone well for him. But he was decisive. You can see it in his spiritual makeup, that some people are going to do this, some people are going to do this. Me and my house, we're going to do this, no matter what you do. We have settled it. I think that was helpful to Joshua. That's the part of his character that I want. So, you know, I could just hear him. Hey, I know Moses didn't do it this way. I love Moses. He was my life coach, okay? I love him. I was with Moses more than any of y'all. But Moses isn't here, right? I'm here, and this is what we're doing. And that's just how Joshua approached it. Okay, Joshua could have been really insecure about the whole deal, but he wasn't. He understood who he was. He was close to the Lord. He understood what God wanted him to do. He understood he wasn't Moses, and he just did what he knew was right and just let people then do what they wanted to do. I mean, if they didn't follow him, fine. But he was decisive about who he was and what he was to do and where he was to go. Okay, I'll end with this story and I'll be done tonight. Sometimes people who speak on the stage or preach or pastors, we may do too much comparing. We compare speakers too much. We'll watch a guy on TV and think, okay, that sermon was maybe an 8 or a 9. Or that guy wasn't as good, maybe he's a 6 or a 7. Right now, most of you are thinking, well, Mike's about a 1 or a 2. You know, okay, I get that, I do. But we do. We don't mean to, and I don't think it's right to do, but we just have a tendency. We'll hear a guy and we'll say, hey, that guy, he could speak in front of 20,000 people. And we'll hear another guy, hey, that guy, he could speak in front of 2,000. We'll hear another guy and say, hey, that guy should be an engineer. He shouldn't be speaking at all, you know. We don't mean to do that, but we do. And it's easy sometimes if you have to speak or you have a Joshua moment and you have to, you're called up or called or in a position to do something maybe you've not done before, to get nervous or insecure or think that you're not really ready for some opportunity that you have been given. Easy to do that. I mean, people who are on stage, sometimes they fight more insecurities than you think. I had a pastor help me with this a long time ago, and maybe it will be helpful to you. And you may never be on a stage, but I bet this could help you in another part of your life. It was actually, there were three guys who really taught us at the Bible school that I went to. One of them was the guy I talked about, Jeff Adams, and there was another guy, Alan, who said this. And they were really, I probably wouldn't be as blunt as Alan was, but he was really blunt with us. It was mostly guys in the class. He said, guys, some of you, you're not very good preachers, okay? There are a lot better preachers out there than you are. And there are guys that you're going to meet that are going to be more polished. They're going to know more about the Bible. They're going to have more experiences. And there are just going to be better preachers and speakers than you will be. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, where's this going? You know, I don't feel very confident right now. He said, there are going to be better preachers than you. He said, but never forget, nobody will ever have a better gospel to preach than you. Nobody. Nobody's going to have better news than you'll have. You have got the greatest message in the world. So when you get up there, you speak with confidence. You understand that you are the person for that moment. Yes, there may be better speakers than you. There may be people who do it better than you, but nobody will ever have better news than you have to share. Never forget that. And I never have for 35 years. I've never forgotten that. I know there are people in this crowd who could do a better job than I can. I'll invite them up, and they'll speak. We had one last week. I love to hear Mike Knight. I'm going to have him back when I'm here so I can hear him. But Mike Knight, as good as he is, he'll never have better news than I've got. We've got the same news. We've got the same news, and that is Jesus came. He died. He loved us so much. He rose again to pay for our sins so we can have a relationship with God. Who's got better news than that? It's the best news in the world. So that's helped me. And that when I've had my Joshua moments, when I've been, hey, I was asked last May to speak 4 times in church over there during one of the worst times in my life. I'd already made the commitment. I had no idea what my life would be when I made the commitment. I got up and did it. I have no idea how I got through those messages, but that's one way hell. I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna talk about Jesus every week, and that's what I did. I talked about Jesus. Nobody can talk about a better Jesus than you can. Your family this week, your friends may ask you something about Jesus. You may have never talked about him before. You may not know what to say, how to start. You may think I've got mistakes in my life. There may be a better presenter than you. Nobody can present better news than you can present. Of all the news they've heard on TV and at work and on the internet, you've got the best news they can possibly hear. Don't ever forget that. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son. to die so that we could have a relationship with you. Lord, what a blessing that you would reach down and love us and give us the most precious gift we could ever imagine, your Son, Jesus. Lord, we all have Joshua moments. Help us realize that we have a moment of influence where people watch us. Help us do a good job with the news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, enjoy the weather tomorrow. It's going to be cooling off, and we will see you next week at the Esquire.